Hello, WorkKit followers and listeners. It's incredible how time flies, and it's already December. The CNA podcast team takes a season break for this month, but we wanted to resurface a few of our top performing episodes, which you may have missed.
This episode comes in at number 3, and it's no surprise that people wanted to know how to give feedback to their bosses.
Oh yeah, we spoke to Norman Chua, the director of Group HR at the National Healthcare Group, and he explained how one can be constructive when giving feedback.
So send this along to someone you think may benefit from it. And from the CNA podcast team, season's greetings.
You're listening to a CNA podcast.
Doors are closing.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another Manic Monday. My name is Adrian.
And I'm Crispina. Today we have a very interesting topic. It's about giving feedback about your boss. In traditional work cultures, as an employee, you get feedback about your performance, right? All the time, in fact. But rarely do you have a chance to tell your manager what you think about his or her leadership.
Even if you can or are asked to, can you really be honest? I remember in a couple of my old jobs, my bosses doesn't seem that receptive to feedback yeah. because otherwise they wouldn't be pulling all those stunts that we honestly dislike.
So I understand from my colleagues that my company used to have something called the 360 feedback. That's pretty common system for gathering information around an employee to assess their boss's work or their manager's work. But from what they tell me, it didn't quite work out so well. Some said that they were assessing people they didn't really work with. And so they started gaming the system. For example, they would accord higher points for the people they liked and purposely gave low points for people they didn't know. I mean, which is kind of human behavior if you really think about it, right?
Yep, sounds right. And there's also the 180 system, which is more scope and limited. Only your downline reports fill in feedback about you.
Downline and peers. But that brings up a whole other set of questions. If I have a small team, surely I would know who said what. That was the first thing that came up when people talked about this. Would I dare be honest if I knew my boss knew it was me? You know what I mean? So many interesting angles to this.
Yeah, there's no way you can anonymize that. To help us cut through the weeds is Mr. Norman Chua, Director of Group HR at the National Healthcare Group. Welcome to WorkKit, Norman.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Crispina.
So, Norman, to begin with, as we always do, we would like to start with your own career. You're in HR, you've conducted all these surveys. Do you personally like giving feedback?
I love giving feedback.
Oh, yay!
Yeah,
high five.
I love giving feedback. That's one of those things that we must do actually in the corporate world. Mm. But unfortunately, sometimes, especially in the Asian context, this doesn't come quite naturally.
Yes.
Regardless of the companies that I work with. So I've worked across both public and private sectors, and thinking that maybe in private sectors we are a little bit more bold in giving feedback. Unfortunately, that's not true. Because especially the office is actually based out of Singapore, we noticed that many of the Asians are not willing to give the feedback.
Oh.
On the contrary, if you're talking about Europeans, if you're talking about Americans, they're more willing to come forth with the feedback. In fact, sometimes too generous with the feedback as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
So there's a whole spectrum.
Of those stereotypes are true.
It is. I have to say, indeed, the stereotypes can be true. But Asians, of course, I do come across very direct feedback as well. Some people who like to actually give feedback directly in your face. I kind of like that. But on the other hand, sometimes it can be bothering being curt or too blunt, you know, when giving feedback.
Right.
It comes with your personality as well.
Is it a generational thing? Do you think young people are more likely to give feedback?
They're more vocal for sure. So they get very frustrated when there's no avenue to actually give feedback. For example, you're talking about the 360 and 180. It works very well with the younger generation because they say, oh, I have a voice. But the frustration comes later. What are you going to do with my feedback? That's a question that they'll ask.
That's a million dollar question.
Yeah, I've said so much already about my bosses. And there lies sometimes the failure of such a system. With all the good intentions that we put in terms of having a 360 or even a 180 itself, sometimes it can be used as a mechanism to get back at bosses as well.
Okay, so we'll come back to all the juicy stuff.
Sure.
Okay, but first, what is the objective of collecting feedback, especially in a work environment, right? Why is it useful for managers, for example, to know what staff think of them? Maybe you can share a time when you yourself got feedback about your own style, painful or not, but did it improve the way you did things or you know, took you by surprise.
Yeah, it didn't take me by surprise. I remember years ago, this was probably around 15, 16 years ago, staff gave me feedback and said, boss, I think you need to listen. Ooh. And I'm an extrovert. So that's never my strength in terms of listening. And I thought I could get away with it. And in my years of working, I always said, okay, being a manager, being an extrovert is good. But on the other hand, they just want to be listened. And coincidentally, that was a time when my wife gave me the same feedback as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it must be true. If your wife says it must be true.
It must be true by that. I had to do something about it. And my wife's feedback was more direct. Darling, I just need you to listen. That's all.
As in, please keep quiet.
Yeah.
And just listen.
No, I don't need a solution. That's what she said. I don't need a solution. I just need a listening ear. Mm. And that was when it dawned upon me. I said, I need to do something about it. Mm. And that was when I started to consciously shift my behaviors towards listening more and speaking less. But of course, speak more intentionally. That means really digesting it. That was when I also go into coaching as well. As a coach, you can't be just going there and say, you know what? This is what I have to say.
But yeah. Do you see your self-awareness response common at the workplace for bosses and managers to be so receptive? Oh, I need to listen. Okay, let me see what to do next.
Hello.
I have to say at certain level, especially at the more senior level or leadership level, the awareness is definitely there. However, what I've seen repeatedly is that the change of behavior is not sustainable. So for example, they take the feedback, and recently also have another conversation that one of the senior leadership wasn't really receptive to some of the feedback and things like that. Over the years, when he first got the feedback, he was so acutely aware of it, and he started to fine-tune some of his behaviors, his leadership behaviors, his bluntness, kind of taper off the bluntness a little bit. After 6 months, he came back again. So if you ask me, when you're at certain leadership and above, I think that awareness is there. Unfortunately, different people manage it differently. Some will really take very drastic steps to do something about it. And some will say, it doesn't hurt me, so why do I have to change?
Mm. I succeeded based on this way of operating. Who are you to tell me to change my
behavior? Yeah, some of them will even tell you, oh, my boss last time was worse. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, I've heard that before, I got it worse. You know, I'm already pretty good. Also because their positions are not threatened. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when I talk about objective or feedback, it doesn't really hurt, right, actually?
It can hurt, especially depending on the nature of the feedback. If it's really bad in terms of certain behaviors, certain companies do take quite drastic actions to deal with it.
Meaning they can remove somebody from a position?
They can, from remuneration point of view, do some adjustments. From performance management point of view, they do some adjustment as well. Because more and more, we're moving towards a performance management culture whereby it's not just about closing your KPIs. It's also about how you go about doing it.
Yes.
In the HR world, we say the what and the how.
Yes.
Okay, so in the past, traditionally, we say, as long as you achieve it, I don't care how you go about doing it. But nowadays, we bring in the how as well. So even if you can meet the budget, if you can meet the timeline, you can meet within your resources, but you are acting, you know, badly.
Yeah.
You behave badly in the meetings, if you behave badly when managing meetings or managing the projects itself, I'm going to rate you much lower. And that can come in a different form, the 360, the 180s, or the traditional feedback loop as well.
So let's drill down into the type of management feedback next. As ChatGPT has shown us, it can really be a case of rubbish in, rubbish out. So what kind of feedback system do you personally find the most useful?
I'm going to give you a very politically right answer over here. Because there's really no one perfect feedback mechanism that we can actually have. Because every single mechanism that I've used in the past before, there will always be loopholes in which how people
always
succumb
downsides,
at. There will always be downsides to it. And it also depends on how serious the company is in terms of putting on the table to be discussed and say that this is what we want to do about the feedback itself.
Whether they are truly soliciting for feedback or just for show.
Exactly. Because the downside of many of these mechanisms is that there are many tools, by the way. Many tools out there. But after you collect the feedback, what do you do
with
them?
What do you do with it?
Do you provide even coachings for those with leadership gaps, for example, and say that, guys, you can't do this anymore. You really have to change. Those kind of courageous conversations need to be in place.
Right.
Sometimes we say if you lack the managerial courage to do it, then what will happen is that this would just be another paper exercise. So I wouldn't say
that's demotivate the employees who took the trouble to do the feedback, right?
Yes. And usually that's the first year when they're so enthustic about doing it. And then from the second year onwards, you start to see that participation rates kind of diminish as well.
Right. And so can you not take part in feedback if you didn't think it was working? Or usually from a HR point of view,
you can.
You collect anyway.
Yeah, you can decline to give the feedback. In fact, even in 360s, for example, a typical 360 systems will ask the manager himself or herself to actually nominate people whom you want to give the feedback to. And then traditionally, they will always try to go for people whom you drink coffee a little bit more often than,
yes.
than the rest. Or I think I'm going to get some good feedback yeah. from there. And unfortunately, sometimes the lack of self-awareness restrict them from choosing the right candidate to give them a good score. Yeah. Meaning they actually chose people who said, you know what, I can speak to you like that, but I don't want to put down my feedback officially. Because for 360, you're not going to do a big group feedback. It's yeah. a very targeted group. So you definitely know roughly who's the few people who actually give you that kind of feedback. So the yeah. lack of psychological safety is very pronounced.
Are you looking for ways to make your money work harder? Tips on saving, investing, or retiring early, perhaps? Or advice on big-ticket decisions like buying a house or owning a car? I'm Andrea Heng, host of CNA's top personal finance podcast, Money Talks. And these are some of the things we find out for you. Each week, I get a guest to share personal stories and answer burning questions that help you make sense of the latest financial trends. Go check out the complete Money Talks playlist on the CNA app, Spotify, Google, or Apple Podcasts.
So let's talk about a little bit about this lack of psychological safety, right? So this came up quite a lot where, especially if it's a small team, someone was telling me, if I say something, it's very clear it's me because that experience is only related to me. And so they're worried that when they say that, the boss will take it personally. Mm-hmm. The conclusion is that maybe we won't say that. And I'm like, oh my God, that's such a wasted opportunity, right? Yep. For somebody to really learn what their weaknesses are and how to fix it.
Yeah. In fact, we always say that the feedback is actually a gift. In one of my previous company, we actually designed this whole campaign about giving feedback, and we really craft the feedback as a gift itself. Because when someone gives you a feedback, it's actually giving you a gift to improve and to change for the better, of course.
Yeah.
But of course, that requires certain professional maturity.
The manager needs to see it as a gift.
Yes, the manager needs to see it. No, there's no point for HR to say, oh, it's a gift. You say, oh, yeah, sure, look at the feedback that was given. Do you think that's a gift to you? I personally believe that it's definitely a gift because we all have blind spots. And sometimes the feedback validates that blind spots and say that, hey, you know what, you need to do something about it. But as with any change, there's always that pain and pleasure theory. If there's no pain, why would you want to change? And in many situations, when there's no pain to it, the same behaviors will be repeated again.
One common thing that I see when giving feedback, even starting from my army days, is they don't really teach you how to give proper feedback.
Oh, yeah.
It's just up to your ability to write in good English or sometimes poor English. And some people, of course, will go very extreme. Everything also put in, oh, his purple color t-shirt triggers me. I cannot take it.
Yeah.
So it becomes more of a complaint. Yeah. So how do you actually look at all these responses and decipher which one are actually valid, which one is a bit not so constructive?
As you mentioned, there will be a whole spectrum of feedback. So the whole spectrum of feedback will come from super unreasonable ones and those that are quite well managed in terms of the use of language and all these things. So what happened is that some of these feedback sessions, when they actually write it down, we actually invite them to come in as focus group as well to be mediated by a neutral party. So if they trust HR, of course HR will come in and do it. But sometimes we also hear feedback on HR and say, I don't trust HR. And then we come
in. That's a feedback.
Yeah,
I don't trust HR. Feedback. I don't trust HR. HR is not on my side.
Yeah, or in some cases where they say that, Norman, I can go out with you for a coffee, but nothing is to be on the record. I can give you my point of view about my managers, but I don't want it to be on record.
That's also valuable, right?
That's
I mean, you don't say no to that.
Yes, I don't. In fact, a good 40 to 50% of the conversations of the feedback actually comes from coffee.
Wow.
Yeah, coffee sessions like that. And because they feel safe enough to actually speak to me to say that, you know what, Norman, this is really how I felt about it.
Right.
And I will have to make a judgment call somehow to say that, okay, are you really moving this to the extreme or can this be better managed? Because in some cases, as you correctly mentioned, to very trivial stuff, they can also think about giving that feedback. And that's when you determine, okay, I need to water down this feedback a little bit when I put this feedback to the managers himself or herself.
Right.
Yeah. But if you think there's reasonableness in the feedback, then make sure that we deliver it with that right level punch, the right magnitude.
Not just reasonableness, but also patterns. I suppose if you have a team, let's say 10 people, and there will be a range, right? Some will be a bit weird, and then some will be very muted. But there might be something that you can pick up that is common.
Yes.
Do you find that?
Very often. For example, this is my theory, which over the years I've validated as well. If you only receive one feedback, one bad feedback, it's a data point. Okay, when you see two feedback, it's starting to see a trend.
Okay.
When you receive three similar feedback, you have to do something about it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is when, again, this is in the context of statistics as well. If you receive one out of 100 that say that, you know, you're a bad boss, forget it. Okay, that's probably something personal. But if you receive three or four feedback out of five people whom I interviewed, you know what? We need to do something. But of course, there will be managers who will be very defensive about that. Say, I think I've chosen the wrong people. We need to choose a different group. I say the feedback loop doesn't work this way in order to get a good feedback out of it.
I know, right? There are people who have complaints from literally everybody who's worked with them.
Yeah.
But they continue, right? Behaving that way.
So. It's like my friend who has trouble dating. All the dates are the problem, not him.
Yeah. How many data points? More than three already?
More than three. Confirm more than three.
Okay, so Norman said,
yeah.
He'll do something about
have
it.
Have to do something about it.
Yeah.
He cannot date. For me, right, the biggest challenge I feel is being honest. So maybe you can help us out here. If I think that my manager, for example, is a poor communicator or plays favorites, okay, this is a very big caveat. Okay, I love my manager. I have to tell you first.
Need to emphasize three times.
Yeah.
To get
no, but it's the truth. Okay, how can I express this in a way that doesn't make them feel bad or go on the defensive? Because we're humans after all, right?
Right.
If somebody tells you to your face that you're toxic or whatever, I'm likely to focus on that rather than what they're trying to say. So not everybody is, like Adrian says, right? Not everybody can give good feedback.
That's right.
How do I do it? Give us some tips. Like, how do you do it?
First, you build that relationship.
Oh,
you build that relationship. You
okay,
have
no
to,
shortcut.
There's no relationship. Just to put things in context, relationship here doesn't mean that I have to suck up to my boss every time in order for me to give a bad feedback one of these days. But really building that relationship so that there's a certain element of trust between the two of us to say that if I'm giving a feedback to you, it is about for your own good. It is not something that is personal or anything like that. And then after that, the other part is you have to rehearse some of this feedback. If you're not natural in giving feedback, you have to rehearse before you go to your boss and give the feedback. And be prepared to give evidence. Okay, so don't go in with a perception. Go in with evidence. Go in with factual anecdotes and say, boss, that day I noticed that you were actually scolding so-and-so along the corridor over there. I did notice that a lot of people were actually looking at us when that happened. So,
Yeah, I had an ex-boss who liked to yell with her door open.
Yeah,
the whole office. I guess she didn't really think she was yelling.
Because people can be defensive when there's no evidence to actually back you up. So you do have to give the feedback with evidence to say that this is not my own perception, this is what I've observed, this is what I've heard. Then it's very difficult for the person to
and it's quite incident
that.
Focused as well.
Yes.
So it's happened, it's an event.
Yeah. So the timeliness is also another tip that I want to share as well. Don't wait till 6 months later to give that feedback.
Because which is a huge challenge for many companies, right? Especially those on annual performance review.
Yeah.
They will tell you in December what you did wrong in January. Who will remember?
No, nobody will. Actually, technology helps nowadays. Back in those days when, I'm going to review my age a little bit, but back in those days when we have feedback done on paper, so to Adrian's point, it's done like twice a year, maybe three times a year, because you go setting mid-year and then end of the year.
And
traditionally,
a lot of paperwork
in January, and nobody believes in it. Because so they just push through the paper and say that, wow, completed already. Okay, you are a B, that's it. You are a C, and that's it. But with technology improvement, I think that feedback loop nowadays are less on the paper, but more in the system and even on your handphone. Meaning feedback can be more instantaneous. So for example, I just finished a project. Okay, I can have a conversation with you, Adrian, and say that, Adrian, that was well managed. Fantastic. You hit your on target in terms of resources, time, blah, blah, blah.
Like that.
Then after that, I go into my iPad or my mobile device and I key that in and say that, okay, on this day, I actually had these conversations. Well done. And you give a badge or something like that. Nowadays, there's so many sexy systems out there that allows you to do it timely.
That's interesting, huh?
Yeah. And towards the end of the year, when you want to give a rating, that makes it easier because you don't have that recency effect. Or I really remember the last 3 months of treatment.
Yeah.
No, you have the full year of record.
Right.
To
it's like a CA1, CA2, SA1,
kind of.
SA2, then final year.
Yes, kind of. Speaking like a parent.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that definitely is good. When something happens, like for example, you just finished a project or you had ushered in change in your organization and you did a good job, people don't really talk about that.
They don't. I always manage this differently with my team. I said, instead of catching somebody doing it wrong, let's change our culture a little bit. Let's catch someone doing it right.
Mm.
That's a very big paradigm shift, especially, I mean, all of us are Asians in this room over here.
Yeah.
Typically, it's always easier to be able to pick out what's not going well. We don't have the muscle memory to say that when it's going well, we at least come forward and say, good job. Mm. Well done.
That's really challenging. I think Singaporeans are geared to just pick up all the bad things,
exactly. So wrong things.
Exactly. Over the years, that's what I've noticed as well. And while I can't change all the 5 million people over here, but I say it starts with ourselves. Even little gestures that we actually do to even sometimes strangers, bus drivers or things like that, does give me this glimmer of hope and say that, yeah, you know what, there's hope in mankind that we can start by doing small gestures like this, giving feedback. And again, there's mechanism in a lot of the software nowadays that allow us to actually do that.
So there are tools nowadays,
a lot. There's, in fact, a lot.
Yeah, to take the whole judgmental and you say, I say thing out of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But that still doesn't change some part of the how people perceive culture at the end of the day. That doesn't change. That I think is a basic human instinct to say that when I feel attacked, I want to defend. That doesn't change at all. So the choice of words when we give feedback, the way that we actually give it, the timing in which we give feedback becomes critical for a successful conversation.
Yeah, so which leads to the last question I want to ask from you is like, so if I'm a manager and I've gotten some really not so nice feedback, how do I deal with it professionally?
Go and ask a few more people. Never take from one source. Never. And
it
I always
like a good journalist.
Never. You triangulate this to make sure that is this something that only she or he felt. If that's the case, then maybe it's a communication issues that the or style issues between the two of us.
Right.
The way that she talked, the way that I talked, we just couldn't sync up.
Yeah.
But if you get the same kind of feedback from the rest of the people, and you should always, as a manager, you should always be surrounded by people who dares to actually give you feedback. That's when the 180 sometimes comes in.
This is the biggest problem.
Yeah, peer. Even peer as well. You don't have to go to your subordinates. You go to your peer, you go to your fellow manager and say that, you know what, I just received a feedback from someone, but you know me well enough. What do you think?
Mm.
And those who really know you well will be able to quite pointedly say, yeah, you know what, I think she has a point.
Mm.
And that's when you say, okay, then I better be doing something like that. And we really need to slowly build this pool of people around us who can give us that kind of feedback.
Right.
But it can be very piercing to the ears because I do have a few of my associates who are constantly around me giving me feedback as well. They have no qualms about telling you, you know what, Norman, you suck.
So for managers and staff who have to go through this kind of feedback exercise and they may not have entire buy-in, what would you typically do to convince them on the importance as well as the necessity of really absorbing all this feedback? What are some of the tips you would want to give them?
I think one is, of course, after you receive the feedback itself, don't take it personally first. I know it's easier said than done, but you really have to filter that out and say that, okay, this is nothing personal at this point of time. If the feedback is given to me, I want to see it as, why did this feedback come in and how did it come about? Then I will go out and validate to check with the rest of the people out there and say that, is this really my blind spot? Is this something that I have not realized it long enough? But on the other hand, I would also advise manager to do this and say that don't react immediately. Don't react immediately.
Go for a walk first.
Yeah, go for a walk. You know, go
count
and
to 10.
Yeah.
Count to 10. Drink 2 cups of coffee.
When I'm coaching, I say one of the things, breathe, think, act. This 3-step.
Breathe,
think and act. Yeah. Breathe first because you get the oxygen in your head. Don't react immediately. Then you start to process it, process the conversations, process the information over here. Then you choose how you want to act. And that's a critical part. Choose how you want to act. The next word that's going to come out of your mouth will determine how the conversation is going to go.
Hey, this is good marriage advice also.
Oh, yes.
Right?
There'll be a different conversation.
I think across any form of relationships.
Brief thing act, as simple as it is, but it just need a little bit of that finesse to actualize it.
I really like that. We always think of feedback as something bad, but actually it's something, like you say, as a gift, right? To help managers do better. And down the line, I guess your business outcomes improve because you also attract people, right? Who want to work with an organization that's constantly thinking of improving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people just have to learn to look past the packaging. The packaging of a feedback usually isn't that nice. Sometimes it may be prickly. Just like durian, but you know, once you open it up, the
not
magic
bad, right?
is inside.
Yeah, it's not too bad after all.
So this whole conversation about feedback reminded me of a story. So a friend of mine gotten an anonymous feedback from someone, very bad feedback. And it went to his boss and his boss invited him to the office and said, Terrence, I actually got this feedback. Take a look. It's anonymous. It says about this, this, this. And he tore it up. Okay. I just want to tell you, because since it's anonymous, I'm not going to take it seriously. Throw it away. Okay, that's all. That's all. And I think it's very powerful because until today, he still remembers it. And I think the other thing that I can learn from it is sometimes feedback doesn't have to be direct. It can be implied. But the message could actually be much more amplified. So sometimes if you have issue giving direct feedback, maybe try the indirect route instead.
Meaning put an anonymous note in that person's locker. Or car windshield. Okay, I'm one of those people, Norman, just like you. Mm. I love giving feedback. I like getting feedback too. Fundamentally, I feel that it improves things because I'm very curious how people see things, because I see things a certain way, right? In my experience, feedback has always been a gift. When I was teaching, students used to give us evaluations. And so the first time I taught and I got my evaluation, it was brutal. They basically said, she thinks she is God's gift to journalism. She's very mean to me. She should give me less C's and understand that it's a struggle. That completely changed my perspective. My biggest problem is that I can't get people to be honest. And I think it's an Asian thing, as you mentioned, especially with negative feedback. Mm. The more negative feedback is the one I feel is more valuable.
So a challenge for all the listeners out there, please take this opportunity to give us all the negative feedbacks you may have about the podcast. We will appreciate a good one as well. In any case, thanks for listening. The CNA podcast team comprises of Jacqueline Chan, Joanne Chan, Tiffany Ang, and Saya Win. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Crispina. Until we chat again next week.